Laura, we're here in the ring at the 60th National Appaloosa Horse Show, and I just, since I understand you are one of our Hall of Famers for the Appaloosa Horse Club, talk to you a little bit about some of your memories and thoughts and on the organization, the breed at this particular point in time. So why don't we start out first by you telling me just a little bit about yourself and where you're from.
All right. I was originally from the East. I grew up in New Jersey and New York. And I always loved horses. My mother showed horses in Madison Square Garden, and she showed gated horses and horses over fences. But unfortunately, she passed away when I was 9, so I didn't get the full benefit of her horse ability. But it was always a great love of mine. And I grew up riding English horses and hunters, and loved jumping and going over fences. Hunted, fox hunted, that was a great sport. And I went to girls' boarding school in Maryland. It was lots of horses there. And then I went to Stevens College, and there was lots in Missouri, and there was lots and lots of horses there. And I actually, they offered, they said that if they didn't have a course, then you could prove that you needed to take it, you could go to the University of Missouri, which was in the same town. Well, I had a hard time convincing them, being from New York City, that I wanted to take horse production and breeds of livestock. But somehow or other, I intimidated my advisor into letting me go over to the University of Missouri and take those courses, which were very invaluable. They helped a lot in my later career as a judge and stuff. And then I went to Wyoming and fell in love with the West and ended up marrying a man from Montana. And that was Matt Bozier, my first husband. And I didn't know anybody, and we lived outside of Billings, and I had a big black thoroughbred horse, and I'd ride it down the road every day. And there was a man down there that had these very unusual-looking spotted horses, a pasture full. And I'd stop and stare at them. I didn't even know they were Appaloosas. And he finally came, and he was a very early Appaloosa member, showed at the first nationals and stuff. And he came out of the house one day, and he said, "I see you looking at my horses all the time." And I said, "What are they?" And his name was Dan Morgan. He was a very early Appaloosa breeder. And he said, "These are Appaloosas." And the next time I stopped, he came out and gave me a pamphlet, all these pamphlets. And he knew, and finally he told me that he knew of one I could buy. So we bought it from a breeder up out of Billings, the Gruels. They'd been in the Appaloosa business a long time. And then we showed her in open shows, and she placed. And then we started looking around for another one, and I got my little mare, who is 2-year-old when I got her, and I broke her myself. We worked on a dude ranch that summer out of Big Timber, Montana. And we had the two Appaloosas up there, and the dudes just thought they were fascinating because my mare was blue with a big white blanket and black spots, and she stayed that color. And they were half-sisters, and the other one was a bright light sorrel with a big blanket and spots. They were Dark Shadow and Cricket. And so Dan Morgan said he was going to the National in Deer Lodge, Montana that year in 54, and did I want to go with my mare? Well, sounded a pretty good idea. So I got new chaps, and I bought a new Western saddle, and away we went in Dan's truck with my new saddle tied to the side. And my chaps rolled up behind the seat.
Well, it sounds like you had a very interesting start, I guess, in your career into this business. And so at that point, you started showing, I suppose, and got even more involved?
Well, I got up there, and I didn't know a soul. And I ended up winning the ladies' pleasure class, which was a very large class on my little mare. And I had a very strange experience there. It poured rain, and I ducked into a stall, and there were two fellows in the stall. And I guess they knew I was a greenhorn from the East. And they teased me just... And I just wished it would quit raining so I could get out. And it was Monty Foreman, one of the famous early horsemen, who put on clinics all over the world, and Dick Spencer, the editor of the Western Horseman. And they were both real dry-witted. So they never let me forget this when I first met them. But it was a great experience. And so, of course, we got more involved. And the next year, we bought a ranch out of Bozeman, Montana. And we started putting together a broodmare band and getting a stallion. And Lou Ferguson, one of the early directors, was a mentor for us. And he had Apache too, one of the very good horses later on. But he was the one that helped us a great deal. And we went to the National in Colorado Springs in 55, and I'd bought a big gelding, and he ended up reserve champion performance horse there. So I was hooked from then on. I didn't miss many Nationals. Had a baby 1 year and couldn't go.
Well, getting involved then with the Appaloosa Horse Club, how did that get started?
Well, of course, you had to join to show, you know. So, and then I thought, we should start a Montana Appaloosa Club. So I got the names of all the people in Montana, and we formed one of the earliest clubs there was formed, and we formed it, and I was the secretary for 11 years. And later on, we moved to Rapid City, South Dakota, and had a ranch there, and I helped form a club there called the Center of the Nation, and was a secretary for that. And then we split and formed the West River, which was west of the western part of South Dakota, and I secretaried that. Then I remarried and went to up to Sydney, Montana, and we formed the Mondat Club. Oh, and we started I got the idea, they did it back east. It was called the Five Club Show, and they had all the big shows back east. And it was, so I said, let's start one out here. So Montana, South Dakota, Wyoming, and North Dakota, we got together and formed what we call the Four Club Show. And we had quite about four or five of those very successful ones, and a lot of horses. It was, you know, we used to see so many horses in the classes, and they were all colored. And that's what really attracted me to the breed to start with was, mm-hmm. And of course I'd always like quality and conformation, so I like to raise a colored horse with conformation and color, and I all love to ride, and I like to have a horse that would do something. Mm-hmm. And we used our show horses on the ranch all week. We raised Aberdeen Angus cattle too, and we used them all week ranching and went to horse shows on weekends, and they had to do everything.
Well, I've heard more than one person say that it's a very, the breed is a very versatile horse.
It is, and in the old days, we used to show one horse in everything. My top horse that I placed at the National for many years was a very unusual horse. He was half Arabian and half Appaloosa and double registered, but I placed in the reining at the National show for 5 or 6 years in a row. I won the Mink Stole, which was to the woman owner rider winning the most points on her own horse. And I won that in Boise, Idaho at the National. And he was reserve in the reining and English Pleasure. We placed in Western Pleasure, English Pleasure, Trail, and reining. And then he was also, I got him trained, and he came trained in cutting. And I had another man come in and ride him in cutting, and he placed in that. That was the days of the horse that you did everything on.
That sounds like a pretty special horse you had there. Well, when you look when you first got involved, and then kind of look at where we are today with the show, you know, how would you compare, say, the show, for example, to even back at that time?
Well, our classes were a lot bigger. We showed at Fort Worth National and I believe there was like 68 or 70 in the 2-year-old stallion class. And it was an honor to get placed. I think we placed third that year, and we took that stallion. He was home-raised to Houston the next year. They started to have some sales, and we put him in a sale, and he topped the sale down there. He was a leopard Appaloosa that we raised. And the things that I've seen is, of course, the quality has always improved. The halter horses have always improved. I like the idea of versatility, and now you have to have a horse for the English, a horse for the Western, a horse for the trail. You know, you have to put 6 horses on the trailer to go do something when we used to put 1.
Well, that's a pretty big difference right
yes.
there.
I always liked the racing, and that was kind of fun. I did have, when I lived in Oklahoma, I had an Appaloosa racehorse for a while, and then 1 year when we were in South Dakota, living there, we had a lot of Appaloosas on the track, and we showed and ran horses. It was kind of fun. It was versatile again. I've just always liked a horse that did things, that you could do, you know, not just haul out in halter class and not get on and do something. Because to me, they were made to ride or drive or something.
Well, and it certainly sounds like that's something you've always had a passion for. Let's look at the Appaloosa Horse Club, the organization, which I know is going through a few changes currently. What do you think about the work of the organization and what it's trying to accomplish, and how do you feel about the near-term future as you look ahead?
Well, we went downhill for a while, and I think we're coming up again. You know, we were one of the top four breeds of the nation for a while, and now we're down, you know, quite a bit lower. And we did go through some rather turbulent times, and I still, this is my own personal opinion, I still feel that the solid horses should show by themselves and the colored ones should show, which is what originally, I think the paints do that, and I felt that, you know, get them merit, but give them merit, but we were a color breed, though they say that we're not. I feel that we were. That's what attracted people. And when you tell people you have an Appaloosa, they say, what is it? And you say, well, it was a horse that had spots. Well, then you take them to a show, and they say, where are the Appaloosas? And I think they are bringing, the color class has improved again, and it's gotten to be quite a big class, and I think we are bringing this back to the public, because we have to prove to the public that you go to a Palomino show, you see gold horses, you don't see black horses. And I have shown paints, I shouldn't say. When I was in professional training, which we had a big indoor arena in South Dakota, and my husband was a trainer, and I was too, and we showed paints, and we showed Appaloosas, and, you know, people would come to the barn and look at, they liked all the color in the barn. I do think that my daughter, Stacy Sordall, was Miss Appaloosa America in 1985, and went all over the, went to Australia and all over the world, and she said in Europe and all, and she trained in Germany for a while. Color was what, you know, what they all wanted, and of course they'd come over here and bought horses, but they bought colored horses. Now she's a national director, and so I hear feedback on, and I think they're really, the directors, you have to admire them. I didn't realize how much time they give to the association. She's a working girl, and she has to take her vacation to come to the directors' meetings when she'd rather be at the beach or something.
Well, I know they have, even with the show going on here, they have meetings that they have to attend as well. So, yeah, it is a big commitment, and I'm sure that there's a lot of challenges because they're trying to handle or work with a lot of diverse interests there.
Yes, and from what I hear from some of her discussions, I think they're on the right track, and I think we're going to see a lot of good changes. You know, these people that are here love the Appaloosa, and that's why they're out here in this arena or else training them when they've gone through thick and thin with them. And I foresee a better future.
Well, if for people who are not familiar with the breed and maybe would like to know more about it, what would be kind of the key message or main thing you'd want them to know about Appaloosa?
Well, having worked with youth all my life and taught for many years, I like to tell them if they're looking for a youth horse that these are very nice, on the whole, nice disposition horses, and kids like them because they're colorful and bright, and I think that they're outstanding youth horses, and that gets people started in the breed, and then they stay in it and come on up through the non-pro ranks or into the professional ranks, and our youth program is very good.
Well, thank you very much, Laura, for your time. It's certainly been enjoyable talking with you about the breed and your involvement with it. I think a lot of people are interested to hear, especially from somebody who's been so supportive over the years.
Well, I've been involved in all aspects. I was a breeder. Mm-hmm. I bred a world's champion halter horse. I had performance horses, which was my main thing. I was a trainer. I was married to a trainer. Later on, I was married to a large breeder in Montana, and I have been a judge. I was a recognized judge. I was the second woman to get a judge's card, and I judged for quite a few years. I have been all over the country, and I just feel like I've been in practically every aspect as a breeder, a trainer, an exhibitor, and an instructor of youth. So,
well, it certainly sounds like you've definitely been one of the people that's helped make the organization and the breed continue to grow and develop and to where it is today. So we appreciate talking with you very much.
I feel one thing was coming from the East, and this was the time when I was in Montana. I also had an American Horse Show Association card, a judging card, for several years, and I was an English rider primarily. Of course, when I went west, I'd never ridden the Western saddle before, and I became a Western rider. But I always loved the English horses, and I spent a long time convincing George Hatley that we needed English classes. And we started out with an open English, which was saddle seat and hunter and park or whatever else you wanted. And now look at what it's evolved to. It's the largest classes here at these shows is the English and the hunter under saddle. So I feel like I had a big part in that.
Well, I'm sure that you did. A little bit of forward thinking there, too. Well, thanks again. That's Laura Brest, who is a Hall of Famer in the Appaloosa Horse Club. And we're here in Oklahoma City. I'm Chuck Zimmerman.